This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
For a long time, most of us have been told that the key to a happy, lasting relationship is sticking with one partner. But what if that's not the case? Well, imagine you study led by La Trobe University has just shaken up one of the biggest assumptions about love and relationships, looking into the happiness of those in non-monogamous relationships. So what were the results? Joining us is Associate Professor Joel Anderson, the Principal Research Fellow at the Australian Research Centre in Sexuality, Health and Society at La Trobe University. Joel, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
I love the publications that come out of your area in La Trobe University. It's always fascinating. Can you tell us what exactly did your study find about relationship satisfaction in monogamous versus non-monogamous relationships?
Yeah, so we were interested in, you know, there's this widespread belief around the globe. We've named it the monogamy superiority myth. And it's just this idea that monogamous relationships are assumed to offer greater sexual satisfaction, relationship satisfaction, intimacy and commitment and passion than non-monogamous relationships. And, you know, we know from speaking with people who are in non-monogamous relationships that they're actually really quite happy and satisfied in them. So we did what's called a meta-analysis. We took all of the available data from around the world. We ended up with data from around 25,000 participants from 35 different studies. And just did a comparison, comparing how monogamous people and how non-monogamous people rated their relationships and their sex lives. And the basic finding was that there are no differences at all. So kind of the same. Dispelling this idea that monogamy is inherently better.
So where does I like the term monogamy superiority myth, where does that come from?
Look, I mean, we see it all the time in media narratives. It's reinforced by stereotypes. I mean, one of my secret guilty pleasures recently has been watching Maths. And this is the perfect example where people are told that if you do all the right things and you look out for the one person, that you'll be able to walk away happily. And that's kind of taught to us that that should be the goal for dating and the goal for relationships. And I guess in some ways it's quite a Western idea. It doesn't happen in all societies, but it certainly has been the standard for many hundreds of years now.
But this doesn't mean that if you're in a monogamous relationship, you can't be happy and everything be absolutely fabulous as well.
No, not at all. And in fact, non-monogamy certainly is not for everyone. It brings with it its own challenges, including, you know, negotiating personalities and values from having multiple partners. And also, you know, dealing with stigma. There's a lot of stigma around being in a non-monogamous relationship. So it's certainly not for everyone, and it has its own challenges. But I guess for people that are interested in it, it's worth knowing that you can be just as satisfied with your relationship.
Joel, I love how your secret guilty pleasure is no longer a secret.
It is not. Even as I was saying, I was like, oh, well, there you go.
Everyone knows now. Were you surprised at just how similar the satisfaction levels were between the two groups?
No, I wasn't actually. I am surprised at how many people are finding it surprising. But, you know, I guess I know from speaking to people, you know, doing this type of research, I speak to people who are in non-monogamous relationships quite often. And they all tell me that if you're doing it respectfully and you're doing it with everyone on board, everyone's, you know, agrees, then it's a really great way to live. And you can find that different partners can complement you in different ways and fulfill different parts of your relationships that you might not get from just having a single partner.
And you mentioned that if it's done respectfully, et cetera, what if it's not done that way though? What can be the cost then?
Yeah, look, this is one of the things that's quite important part of this is that we're talking about consensual non-monogamy. Mm. So the idea then is that everyone's on board, everyone's aware that it's happening. And it's done with the consent and the knowledge of everyone involved, because otherwise we're talking about like non-consensual, non-monogamy, which is basically just cheating.
Just on that, infidelity, how does that play into, I suppose, why some non-monogamous couples might report higher trust or satisfaction?
Yeah, look, it's a bit speculative for me to say this, but I think it's just because by virtue of having to have really open and transparent conversations, it gives you an opportunity to have to build more trust in a slightly different and deeper way than people in monogamous relationships need to.
So basically, because there are other people involved other than the primary couple in the non-monogamous relationship, they're almost forced to have these conversations and build trust. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, more or less. And so it's also important to know that this effect holds for all different types of non-monogamous relationships. Right. So that can include, people who are in a couple but occasionally open up their pairing to having a third person enter, or for people who are in throuples or have multiple partners that are all of equal importance in the relationship. So it's across the board of all these different relationship types, this effect holds. But it seems to be driven by this idea that, openness and transparency behind the conversations builds good trust.
I wonder if we looked then at the monogamous relationships that you looked at in your study, is it the ones that are happy and successful, do they also build that, I suppose, that open communication and trust, even though they're not necessarily opening their relationship to other people, they're still building that between the two people?
Yeah, look, I can't say from our study, but I would guess that that's true. Yeah, if I was to speculate.
Now, let's talk about, you looked at a lot of people across a broad range of people, different countries, different relationship styles, etc. Did the findings hold true across things like gender, sexuality?
Yeah, so like really importantly is that it held for heterosexual, people who are heterosexual in non-monogamous relationships, as well as LGBTQIA folk. So it's not something that's just, unique to the queer community, which I think lots of people often assume it is. And certainly I think queer people certainly have been talking about it for longer and more open with it. It's in a better part of the dialogue than for heterosexual people. But it held for different people with different sexual orientations, it held across genders, and it held across different countries around the world. It seems to be a really robust finding.
We're chatting with Associate Professor Joel Anderson about some groundbreaking study that has challenged the idea that monogamous relationships are automatically better or more satisfying than non-monogamous ones. Joel, people in non-monogamous relationships often face a lot of judgment. What impact does that have on the quality of their relationship and their well-being?
Yeah, this is interesting because I think, this finding that we've been talking about, that people are as happy in their relationships, happens in spite of having to face this stigma. And so it is important, I guess, for people who are maybe considering being in a non-monogamous relationship, that there are lots of things that need to be thought about and negotiated. So, for example, lots of government forms, for example, are not set up to have more than one partner. There's usually a single point of contact that's a next of kin or an emergency contact. So you kind of get left in this position of needing to make some awkward choices about who you're going to list and those sorts of things. Particularly, it can become a little bit complex for people who are parents, navigating schools who are expecting parents to be, a pair. So I guess, look, what my take-home message from all of this research is that we just need to have perspectives about relationships that are just a little bit more inclusive, particularly for things like healthcare professionals, therapists, policymakers, these sorts of people.
Do you think, what do you hope our healthcare professionals, our therapists need to take away from the study?
Yeah, I think, I can understand why people assume that monogamy is as a default, it's certainly the most common. But I think ideally, if people stop thinking or assuming that everyone is in a monogamous situation, that will help dispel some of the myths around it.
Joel, what if someone's listening and they're curious or they're questioning the traditional ideas about relationships? What's the biggest takeaway, I suppose, we could get from your study?
Look, there's heaps of resources around on the internet for people who are curious about non-monogamy, including for people who are already in relationships, in monogamous relationships, how to think about opening your relationship up. And there's also resources around for people who are single and want, curious about how non-monogamy works. But I guess my advice would be don't do it in a rush. Do it slowly, talk to your partners about it. And just making sure that everyone's on board. And knowing that it's not a one-way street, you know, people's relationships can go from being monogamous to open, back to monogamous. You know, it can fluctuate based on people's needs and what else is going on in their lives at any point in time.
So, Joel, is it fair to say that even though this study, I suppose, it challenges a big myth about relationships, it's not saying one style of relationship is better than the other. It's more about, I suppose, recognising diversity in relationships and that you can be happy no matter what.
Yeah, absolutely. And I certainly can acknowledge that it's not for everyone. Monogamy is not for everyone, as is non-monogamy. So it's about finding what's right for you and making sure that it's being done in a way that it works for you.
Joel, fascinating research. Thanks for sharing it with us.
Thanks so much.
That is Associate Professor Joel Anderson, Principal Research Fellow at the Australian Research Centre in Sexuality, Health and Society at La Trobe University. So maybe the real secret to happiness is whatever works best for you.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.